The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Essence Magazine, March 2019 edition, and this is going to be the last week for this particular edition. Last week, we covered the cover of the edition, which is Willow, Jada, and Adrian, the innovation issue, and this was starring them, and we, you know, went over their life and how that they are currently on a show called Red Talk Table, which airs on Facebook. So this last edition, or this edition for March 2019, we're going to discuss Essence Tech Stars, Next Stop Global Connections, Motherhood Takes a Village, and then also a final word from Bozama St. John. Essence Tech Stars. The age of innovation and technology is at full throttle. We're going to meet some of the brilliant black women on the front lines. Women just like you are investing, transforming, and revolutionizing the tech world. Black women are the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs and reportedly among the most educated women in the country. Yet, we accounted for less than 4% of the 6,791 funded startups in 2017. But in our underrepresentation lies possibility. As the 15 tech leaders here know well, these trailblazers are defying the odds while creating exciting opportunities for the rest of us. Monique Itlet Mosley. She's the co-founder and general partner of Rain Ventures out of Miami. After more than a decade in the music industry, Itlet Mosley saw her technology was reshaping the business. Or she saw how technology was reshaping the business. And she knew she wanted in. While pursuing an MBA, she met Erica Dugnan Minahan. And the two established Rain Ventures, a venture capital firm with a $25 million fund focused on women and minority-led tech startups. In order to change the narrative, we bet on founders who no one else is betting on, says the entrepreneur. We need those who have influence and disposable income to bet on our communities. If everyone's putting their money into a proven model, then the questions are, how do we build the next Lyft? How do we build our own airlines, hospitals, and hotels? Rain Ventures has answers. Brianda Law. She's the founder and CEO of Quirk Testic Incorporated out of San Francisco. Law knows that black folks can be quirky. She's living proof. I was a quirky black girl growing up, she says. I was a closet anima watcher. I remember wanting friends to talk about anime and go with the comic cons. Out of this yearning, she birthed Quirk Tastic, a networking app to help geeks, gamers, and nerds of color find one another, whether in their neighborhood or at a cosplay convention. Since launching the app in 2017, Law has been asked to speak at the 2018 Forbes Impact Summit on building community and investing in black women, and won the backing of the XX Fund, WeFunder, an early stage fund. In the meantime, she's busy building Quirktastic into a media brand. Her anchoring mantra, call your shots and then write them down. Jessica O. Matthews. She is the founder and CEO of Unchartered Power. She's out of New York City. At 22, Matthews started a full service power infrastructure technology company that uses a suite of patents to provide communities with energy that is both clean and inexpensive. Her early success led to an invite to the White House to witness President Barack Obama sign the Leahy-Smith America Invents Act in 2011. In recognition of her raising $7 million in series of A financing, she was selected to ring the NASDAQ opening ceremony bell. A dual citizen of Nigeria and the U.S. with two Harvard degrees, Matthews is listed on more than 10 patents, including one she developed while she was in college. Socket, a soccer ball that generates and stores light-producing energy from being kicked and tossed during play, adds the tech titan. Stay humble and hungry. She takes this philosophy to heart in all her endeavors. Melissa Bradley, she is the managing partner of 1863 Ventures out of Washington, D.C., Bradley's company, previously Project 500, assists entrepreneurs from historically marginalized communities by bridging the gap between entrepreneurship and equity and by accelerating high potential and high growth. Started in 2016, it's focused on assisting business owners to increase revenue, access capital, and create jobs. Fueled by her own experience of the sexism and racism Black women often face from potential partners and investors, she aims to help others navigate the trenches. Through a partnership with the Ford Motor Company Fund, 1863 Ventures recently hosted Washington, D.C.'s Her Impact D.C. Entrepreneurship Summit, which will be followed by an enterprise pitch competition this month. I constantly hear the potential of entrepreneurs of color questioned, Bradley says. The best way to overcome the stereotypes is to help founders be prepared, know their numbers, have sound goals, and assist them with customer acquisition and revenue growth. Mandela S.H. Dixon, founder and CEO of Founder Gym out of San Francisco. How successful could you be with your startup idea if you could get the tools and training needed? With Founder Gym, you no longer have to wonder. Launched by Dixon, the outfit has trained 260 underrepresented founders and entrepreneurs from 10 countries since 2018. Dixon's message to Black women: consider tech startups. You belong there. Bet on you. Trust that you have what it takes. Jewel Burke Solomon. Managing partner of Collab and angel investor out of Atlanta. While some of her fellow college students were still figuring out what career to pursue, Burke Solomon was forging a path to her future. An internship at Google following her sophomore year at Howard University fed her interest in technology. Her experience at a parts distribution company led her to co-found PartPick, a startup that streamlines the purchase of parts using computer vision technology. Burke Solomon raised over $2 million in funding for a PartPick before it was acquired by Amazon. Now her goal is to teach and expose other people of color to entrepreneurship. Trust your instincts and your gut as you make decisions, says Burke Solomon. But it's also important to be led by something higher. Entrepreneurship is amazing for building faith. Morgan DeBon, she is the founder and CEO of Blavity, which is out of Los Angeles. At age 29, DeBon has made an unparalleled impact on the tech world. Her digital media biz serves a global audience through Blavity, 2190, Travel Noir, Shadow and Act, and Afro Tech. If we own the distribution channels, then we have flexibility to control our own narrative, she says, after launching Blavity. DeBond grew her empire. I worked out of my San Francisco apartment for the first year and a half, she says. Then we opened an office in Los Angeles and expanded our engineering team in Atlanta. Afrotech is now the country's largest gathering of Black tech professionals, with more than 4,000 attendees at last year's conference, where where speakers included such as high-octane names as Valerie Jarrett, Baron Davis, and Common in San Francisco. Says DeBond, there's a moment when you stop being worried about failure and only see opportunity. Arlen Hamilton. She is the founder of Backstage Capital and CEO of Backstage Studio Incorporated, which is out of Los Angeles. Back in 2014, Hamilton was homeless with no capital and no network. Yet she set out to change entrepreneurship as we know it, with the goal of disrupting the way investors generate wealth primarily for white men. She built Backstage Capital, a pipeline for people of color, women, and the LGBT community. And just in 3 years, she's invested in more than 100 companies run by entrepreneurs. And last year, she created a $36 million fund to invest solely in black women founders. Hamilton's formula for success is be authentically you, no matter what. Savitri M. Wilson. She is the founder and CEO of Resilia, formerly known as Exempt Me Now. She's out of New Orleans. Wilson refused to be daunted by the disheartening statistics about how few black women are able to capture strong venture capital funding for their startups. So she launched an online platform that simplifies the creation of and management process for nonprofit organizations, and it enables billion-dollar enterprises to scale. Wilson secured $2 million in funding, and her work was featured in the Senate's report on volunteerism during the Obama administration. For black women, our breakthrough is often on the other end of disappointment, Wilson says. Kimberly Bryant. She is the founder and CEO of Black Girls Code. She's out of Oakland. Almost 7 years ago, Kimberly Bryant searched for other girls of color who were engaged or as engaged in technology as her daughter was and came up short. Instead of accepting the status duo, she seized the opportunity to create a trail for thousands of aspiring young innovators and launched Black Girls Code in 2011. The organization has soared into the national limelight, becoming a movement. There is power in numbers, Bryant says. I want to support girls as young as six and give them opportunities and exposure through their K through 12 experience. Felicia Butterfield Jones. She is the global head of women and black community engagement at Google. She's out of Los Angeles. As one of the top black women in tech, Butterfield Jones has a history of making change. Her role at Google has her focused in increasing representation, improving the culture, and bringing computer science and media to women and the black community. She has helped to develop uniquely empowering initiatives, including the State of Black Women at Google Summit and Howard West Partnership with Howard University, which focuses on training and preparing the next generation of computer scientists. Increased representation improves innovation, increases product inclusion, and leads to real dividends. She observes, her advice to those inspired to follow in her path of making a difference in tech. If you haven't opened the door for another woman, your work is not done, she says. Catherine Finney. She is the founder and CEO of Digital Undivided. She's out of Atlanta. Finney is on a mission to help women of color win. In 2013, she founded Digital Undivided, an incubator for black and Latina women entrepreneurs. To date, program participants have raised more than $30 million in outside venture funding. Finney has continued to reach beyond the limits of data-driven conventions. She learned early that the bar for focus or bar for success is often set too low for us. A black woman might be celebrated for raising $45 million, whereas the average raise for a white man could be $15 million. we explained how venture capital actually works. In 2018, the company released the latest project, Diane, the State of Black Women Founders, a biennial demographic survey about Black women entrepreneurs. My parents never told me I couldn't do something, she says. They gave me the gift of not seeing limits. Stacy Brown Philpott. She is the CEO of TaskRabbit out of San Francisco. Among a sea of tech CEOs sporting hoodies or suits, Brown Philpott stands out. With her megawatt smile, brown skin, and naturally kinky hair, the TaskRabbit leader is unapologetically herself. The network she helms boasts nearly 1 million clients and 140,000 taskers, people who complete requested everyday tasks. She led the company through its acquisition by IKEA. As Black women, we try to take on everything, and we really don't have to, Brown Philpott says. She recommends using a service like TaskRabbit to delegate the small stuff so you can pursue your main aspirations. The Detroit native, who earned her MBA at Stanford and then pivoted from finance to tech, says, ask for help and have the audacity to take risks. Nikki Washington, PhD, Associate Professor of Computer Science at Winthrop University out of Rock Hill, South Carolina. Washington witnessed the harsh reality behind the tech industry's hiring practices when a manager at a company where she worked admitted to only recruiting at more reputable schools and not at HBCUs. Washington left the company soon after, determined to make a difference in the diversity-starved field. When offered a position at Howard University in 2006, she said she became the school's first Black woman computer science professor. Students needed someone who understood them to have real talks about what was expected, says Washington, who joined Winthrop's faculty in 2015. She shares her hard-earned insight in a new book, Unapologetically Dope, Lessons for Black Women and Girls on Surviving and Thriving in the Tech Field. Assemble your tribe. Don't be afraid to fail or ask for help. And always lift while you climb. Asia Bao. She is the founder and CEO of Simboard, LLC, out of Arlington, Virginia. She is a former NASA aerospace engineer. Bao launched her tech solutions company, Simboard, in 2013. Since then, she has secured multi-million dollar contracts and has been recognized by the U.S. Department of Defense. Her business is known for taking a deliberate stance in uplifting women, people of color, and other historically disadvantaged groups in the tech workforce. I wasn't the greatest student, admits the rocket scientist. I internalized the limitations others put on me. It wasn't until I received my first A in a community college math class that I began to recognize my abilities and change the internal conversation. Our gut tells us everything we need to know. Listen to it. So we're going to move on to lifestyle boomtowns. The next stop, global connections. For a tech adventure, consider these international and domestic hotspots that are brimming with opportunity. Just look around and you can see that the technology sector is booming. It seems as if a new app, business, product, or innovation pops up nearly every day. Cities such as Seattle and Tokyo may be leading the pack when it comes to high-tech careers and breakthroughs, but there are other emerging locations attracting the attention of IT folks and smart entrepreneurs, including Black women. Indeed, across the globe, various centers are actively vying for the chance to become the next Silicon Valley. If you're interested in making the right moves in this lucrative field, then get ready to plan a trip to one of these five cities. Number one, Paris, France. France may be well known for art, history, and culture, but it now wants to add technology to that list. The country recently set up a French tech visa specifically to encourage international founders and tech investors and employees to settle there. And according to Forbes, the mayor of Paris, Anne Hidalgo, has committed to increasing funding for female-led tech startups. Hawaya Mohammed, co-founder and managing partner for Afrobyte, which hosts an annual tech conference in the French capital, is using her platform to build relationships between African startups and corporations, like global e-commerce giant Alibaba and multinational conglomerate LVMH. Women of color in tech personify the concept of resilience, says Muhammad. Number two on the list is Charlotte, North Carolina. This Tar Heels state locale would seem to be an unlikely technology mecca, but that's changing. The city's major financial and tech companies, including Wells Fargo, Deloitte, and IBM, have been enticing a well-qualified workforce to fill a multitude of IT openings. The result is making Charlotte a top city for tech careers. More than 44,000 positions were advertised on job boards in 2018, and that number is expected to increase over the next 5 years, according to a report by CompTIA AITP. Add to that median salary in the mid-$80,000s for those jobs and an affordable housing market, and it's easy to see what their traction is. Number three on the list is Lagos, Nigeria. Last year, there was reportedly 442 tech hubs across Africa. Leading the way is Lagos, which is quickly becoming the Nigerian Silicon Valley, with its startups said to be raising more in early funding than other similar centers on the continent. Tastemakers Africa founder Cherie Robinson knows the power of the country's technology scene. Having won one of its tech competitions, she leads Africa in 2014. With a rising number of tech-backed companies taking note, Lagos-based founders are producing Africa-centric innovation and high potential for its large consumer base and beyond, says Robinson. The fact that Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg visited in 2016 underscores the city's relevance and increasing influence in tech circles. Number four on the list is Montego Bay, Jamaica. Beautiful beaches, colorful nightlife, and exotic cuisine are what most people think of when they dream of going to the Caribbean. However, innovators in the region are working to broaden that viewpoint and have visitors mix business with pleasure. Conferences like the Tech Beach Retreat, held in one of Jamaica's popular tourism resort areas, brings investors, entrepreneurs, and the best of the Caribbean's tech ecosystem together to exchange ideas, forge partnerships, and tap into the often overlooked possibilities in the islands. Executives from LinkedIn, Airbnb, Pixar, and Instagram attended the 2018 event, which organizers billed as a deal-making paradise. The next gathering is slated for this December. And then finally, number five on the list, San Francisco. It might be home to the region by which other tech hubs are judged, namely Silicon Valley. But that's not the only reason San Francisco should be on your radar. The Bay Area is also headquarters for many environmental and clean tech startups. This rapidly growing segment offers numerous opportunities for those interested in developing eco-friendly products and services. The city was ranked the second greenest in the country by Wallet Hub in 2018, thanks to regulations requiring residents and businesses to recycle to reduce waste. Fortunately, there's no law against being tech savvy and socially conscious. a word. Bold like Boz, certified disruptor and making exec Bazama St. John threw out her 10-year plan a long time ago. So how does she keep us mesmerized by her business moves? By forcing us to rethink about a C-suite black woman looks like. When the opportunity came to present part of the keynote address at the 2016 Apple Worldwide Developers Conference, I absolutely jumped at it. Not because I'm the first black woman to do it, but because I knew that I could represent it in a way that others couldn't. I was going to get on the stage and not wear jeans and a button-down shirt like other tech executives. I think people paid attention to me that day, not just because of the way I delivered the information, but also because of how I looked. The fact that I was wearing a body-hugging pink dress and a pink Christian Louboutins and my hair in a curly afro and a bold pink lip had people wondering, who does she think she is? And I'm like, yeah, I'm Boz. Ask about me. In that moment, I felt powerful. I thought, if I can get on this stage and be fully myself, and I can snap my fingers and roll my neck or roll my eyes, that gives us all permission to do that in whatever space we're in. If I can do it there, why can't we do it in our offices too? 5 years ago, when my husband Peter died from Burkitt lymphoma, there was a shift in my spirit and in my faith that accelerated me to what you see today. I started to live more urgently. I don't think anyone can go through an experience like that and not realize that the saying, life is short, is real. I started working at Apple as a marketing executive the year after Peter's death. I was exploring new ideas and taking bigger risks. A decade before that, if somebody had said, hey, you should do this job at Apple, I would have said, wait, I need more experience. That had totally gone out the window. I absolutely jumped right in. Early in my career, I would look at who was successful and try to model myself after that person. Unfortunately, none of those people really looked like me. They rocked the pantsuit or skirt suit, usually gray or navy black with hair straight or tied back. No disrespect, but that wasn't my style. I like sequins on Tuesdays. I like bold red lips and my hair naturally curly or in a weave down to my ankles. I like I like when I am dressed that way. My personality is really able to shine through. That's why I think it's a disservice when we talk about fashion or the way people look as artificial. And it looks like that we've actually run out of time, so we're going to save this another time. Thank you. Well, be sure to listen to us next to the Essence Magazine next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, www.trianglereadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-518. So long until next time.